beautiful prayer, isn't it? It was good for me to join you and just sing those words together. We hardly need to pray after praying that, but let's take our Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Romans. And if you'd open your bulletin to the inner fold, you know what we normally do. There's some verses there to be used. Nevertheless, it is appropriate for us to pray, so let's ask God's help as we come to His Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we do not come out of routine, but we come out of desire. We come out of desire to know the truth of Your Word. Help us to be discerning today as we listen to the words of life. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that this would be helpful, not only to parents of teenagers, but to all of us as we understand the rebellion of our own hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're doing a series called Our Home and a mini-series within that called Reaching the Rebel. But before we can reach the rebel, we need to understand the rebel. So this is the second part of that message, Reaching the Rebel Part 2. The worst nightmare of many parents is to have a rebel, a kid who makes their own destructive way, who doesn't take any notice of all the rules and principles that they've been taught, who just want to live life their own way and cause destruction in the family. The fear is so great that many parents start to be anxious about everything their teenager does, wondering if they're heading toward the edge. Other parents do the opposite. They ignore obvious warning signs, and they wonder, as time goes past, how they could have missed those warning signs. Some coming home glassy-eyed and wanting to devour everything in the fridge. A daughter coming home midweek and vomiting on the front lawn. One couple discovered their son had helped a friend break into a ute. Later they said, "We didn't think our son was capable of anything like that. We're finding out, okay, he's done some serious drugs. Now he's been involved in a crime. He hangs around with another young person we hate." That night started us on a process of realizing just where we were and that we're in something deeper than we could handle. No parent wants to live through something like this, but more and more parents are being forced to admit that their teens are indeed off the rails. They're finding that no matter what they did to raise their children right, some of their children or one of their children has become a rebel. If we're ever going to see things turn round, the first thing that we need to do with such teenagers is to understand that rebellious son or daughter. We feel bewildered. Why is my son or daughter behaving like this? How is it going to affect the other kids? What are they thinking? Even though their behavior makes no sense to us, it of course makes perfect sense to them. We want to understand the rebellious son or daughter, don't we? This can help us whether we're trying to reach our own teen, or maybe a friend has come to us and talking about their son or daughter, and we're seeking to help them. Or maybe we're just ministering to some teen in our street or some other teen we've come across in a community activity and we're wanting to reach them for the Lord Jesus. And yes, some of this may reveal the rebellion in our own hearts also, because we all want to have our own way. The Bible is robust. It has depth to be able to give us understanding of how to reach teens in rebellion. Already we have seen how Proverbs describes three kinds of rebel. Remember, last time we looked at this, the first kind was the naive or simple. The second kind was the foolish who denies God. And the third kind was the scoffer who mocks at God. Now, if you missed that message, please review it on our website. It's there. We need to understand those three kinds of rebel, and it begins to give some tools in reaching out to them. Today we need to take a look at the rebel from another angle, using further scriptures that reveal everything from the teen rebel's behavior to their hearts. So we need the scriptures today to start peeling back layers, to peel back four layers of understanding of the rebel. And these layers are going to help us understand anyone, a teen rebel or indeed our own hearts. The first layer in understanding the rebel is the most obvious, and it is the most observable. It is outer behavior. Outer behavior. In a word, disobedience. The most obvious thing is that the teen just does not do what you want them to do, what you ask them to do. Of course, you don't need to be told that this is serious sin. Twice in the New Testament, that phrase, disobedience to parents, is used. Disobedience to parents is used twice. And both times, disobedience to parents is listed in a list of sins. It is associated with other sinful behaviors. The first passage is Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, Paul explains what happens when we leave the worship of God. We turn our back on God. We want to go our own way. What happens? Well, Romans 1 and verse 20 says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." So they're without excuse. So that verse says, God clearly exists. People are without excuse. "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image, made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." If you do not worship God, you will end up worshipping something else. It may be an idol, like in some places, or it might be an idol of the heart, something that we just want and we are driven towards in our hearts. You see, brothers and sisters, we're made to worship. So we are going to worship something. And the default setting for our worship is not good. Turning from God is foolishness. Denying God is rebellion against him. This is most serious because God says, "Okay, if you're going to turn from me, the fountain of living waters, then I will let you go your own way. But understand this. The only other alternative you have, if you're not going to drink from the fountain of living waters, is to drink from the gutter." You say, "Well, what do you mean drink from the gutter?" Well, Paul explains that in verse 26 and following. "For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in lust for one another. Men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting." You say, what things? Well, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, and you might want to underline that, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but approve of those who practice them. When a willful teen deliberately turns from God, God may well say to them, "Okay, you can go your own way." And they can get into all kinds of wickedness and immorality that is associated with this disobedience to parents. This is very serious. Their relationship with God is severed, if it ever existed at all. And their relationship with their parents is being destroyed and damaged also. Yes, disobedient to parents is indeed worthy of death. Are you surprised at that? Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 18 says, "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, when his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders of his city, to the gate of the city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. It is evil to disobey parents. And it is one of the signs of the evil end of our age. And that brings us to the second passage that mentions disobedience to parents. And that's on your sheet. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. Do we see this? Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, underline it, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of what is good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people turn away. In the end, parents of rebellious teens may have to do what God has done with such. They may need to give them up, let them go their own way. If a parent was to let their teen just say, okay, have it your way, but you cannot live here any longer, that would be equivalent to the Old Testament of taking the rebellious teen to the city gates and having them stoned. You see, in either case, it ends the relationship. If your son or daughter is stoned to death, that ends the relationship. And if the parent says, okay, have your own way, but you can't live here anymore, that ends the relationship, at least for now. But in New Testament grace, that is not the end of the story. Praise God for that. The parents keep praying that their rebel would come to their senses. Hope should never be lost. Both New Testament lists highlight that disobedience is just one sinful behavior of rebel teens. Others listed by the Holy Spirit include other behaviors associated with this disobedience to parents include immorality, murder, strife, deceit, violence, boasting, blaspheming, slander, and maybe godless religion. Remember, Paul said there was a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They might be doing all this and still claiming that they're a Christian. I guess I'm telling parents what they already know is that this is a very serious problem. Proverbs 30 and verse 17 says, The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. That's talking about an early death. You want to go your own way to live in rebellion, you're likely to have an early death. And in the days of drugs, such rebels often die young. It's clear from disobedience and other rebellious behavior that choices are being made. The teen is clearly making choices of their own way. Judges says of a rebellious age, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And Solomon says that doing right in your own eyes is true of any rebel. Proverbs 12 and 15 says, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. He's a rebel, he's a fool. And like I said in the introduction, this is something that is really true of all of us. Isaiah 53 and verse 6 says, all what we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to what? His own way. We all tend to have that heart of rebellion in us. But our hearts go out to parents dealing with the foolish behavior of their teens. I want to take an example from the world. When Jade was 14, her mum, Rhonda, says she caught her daughter sending rude photos of herself to a boy. That's when Rhonda started implementing strict rules. Jade's phone gets turned off overnight. She's very restricted from the time she gets home till the time of bed. I've deleted her contacts, Rhonda says. She can't take pictures. She can't have access to any new apps. No internet access. Because Jade has made bad choices in the past, I am very strict. Jade, now 18, says, it's been crazy since I was 13 years old. She treats me like I'm 2. But Rhonda says she has every reason to be concerned for Jade. She's dangerous to herself. She dresses provocatively. Recently, she discovered that Jade was developing a relationship, a telephone relationship, with a guy in jail. I didn't think it was a big deal, Jade says. He wasn't, like, in jail for killing anyone. He was just in jail for selling drugs. We're calling each other every day, and I was planning to see him after he got out of prison. Rhonda admits, I went ballistic and took away Jade's phone. She has access to nothing, she says. No, my mum says she's protective and loves me. I think she's crazy, says Jade. Can the same thing happen to Christian parents? Yes, sadly, yes. When parents ask for help, and probably Rhonda should be doing that at this stage, when parents ask for help, it's usually because of some behaviour by the teens. Something that is out there and has caused a serious problem, and that provokes the call for help. Maybe the teen has run off. Maybe there is a teen pregnancy. It might be your son has caused this. It might be your daughter is now pregnant. Maybe your teen is expelled from school. Maybe the teen has got in trouble with the police. There's stealing, there's drunk driving, there's vandalism, or some act of immorality that has come to the attention of the police. Drugs, alcohol. When such things happen, parents usually react like Jade's mum reacted by clamping down, making restrictions. Such restrictions like having to stay home, taking away driving privileges, losing privileges for the phone, the computer, or TV. No sports, early curfews. Or the other way the parents often react is like Rhonda did, simply going ballistic, yelling, demanding, threatening, bargaining, bribing or lecturing. Now, loss of privileges may be necessary until there is a relationship of trust built up again. But let me say that curbing those privileges only changes behaviour. It doesn't get to the heart. Well, what else? Okay, let's go to the next level of understanding. Let's try and start to understand the heart of the teen. But before we do that, let me encourage you a little. The reason I kept saying rebellion is serious is because I want parents to be alert. I don't want them to get way down the track where things become very difficult. I want them to be able to nip it in the bud. Don't miss the warning flags. But there is always hope. If you or you know someone whose teen is really right out there, there is still hope. Pray that God will bring that teen to their senses. Pray that God will keep working in their lives. Keep trying to understand where they're coming from. Try and draw close to that teen. Whilst they're alive, God can be working. Whilst there's life, there's hope. Don't lose hope. But for the parents that are here today that don't have teens or anyone near teens, let me say to you, start with them as toddlers. You can prevent teen rebellion to a large degree by seeing that those toddlers understand that they're persons under authority. The second layer in understanding the rebel is inner emotions. The teen's emotions and what they are reacting to is going to give you a window into their hearts. Basically, they want their own way. They want to do what they think is right. They want to be able to make the choices. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 21 says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." Paul was talking there about ministry and looking for someone like Timothy who could minister, but what he said has wider application. All seek their own. But teens often have their own way blocked. So like all of us, they will react in one of three major ways when they're not getting their way. Number one, there might be moodiness, depression, crying and grumpiness. Number two, there might be anger, irritability and nastiness. And number three, there might be anxiety plus or minus nightmares. The teen is just concerned, anxious that it's not going to turn out the way they want it to turn out. Watch Ahab. Remember King Ahab? He coveted his neighbor's field, Naboth, who lived next door to him. And when his neighbor would not sell and Ahab couldn't get his own way, watch how Ahab reacted. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, next to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. So Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, "Give me your vineyard, that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near next to my house, and for it I will give you a vineyard better than it. Or, if it seems good to you, I will give you its worth in money." But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to you." So Ahab went into his house sullen and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. Sullen is despondent. Displeased is the basis of anger. Anger is the emotion of displeasure. When the teen doesn't get their way, they're likely, like Ahab, to become sullen or angry. Or if a teen thinks that what he wants to happen may not happen, they may become anxious. And by becoming anxious, they have no rest in their hearts. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The rebel doesn't want to trust Christ. They want their own way, and so they miss out on the peace that Christ offers, and their hearts often become anxious. Really, there's only two choices. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 explains, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." And the alternative, "and lean not on your own understanding." You either trust God or you go your own way. So when a teen is anxious, sullen or angry, they're not getting their own way. They're not trusting the Lord. When they're like this, it is a window to their hearts. Jesus explained in Matthew 7 and verse 20, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness." Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the life is lived. So when teens are reacting to a certain situation, they're telling us what is in their heart. The teen makes behavior choices, so we can see something about their heart from their behavior. And the teen reacts when the teen doesn't get their way. And those three areas, maybe moodiness or anger or anxiety. So the teen's behavior and the teen's emotions are windows to their heart. Remember Rhonda and Jade? It wasn't just the mum who lost it. Well, we can understand her losing it when a daughter's talking on the phone constantly to someone in jail. You don't want that for your daughter. But Jade often lost it too. Every time Rhonda slapped another restriction on Jade would lose it. Jade always seemed to get angry when her mother did the same thing, when she blocked her access to boys. When your teen goes off in a rage, watch and listen to what is being said, for that is a window to their heart. You may get more real information during a time of anger and rage than what you, especially if you're having a difficult relationship with that teen, than what you do, you could do in trying to sit down and talking to them. But all emotions, anxiety, anger, despair, all emotions flow from our thoughts. And so that leads us to the next layer. The third layer in understanding the rebel is underlying thoughts. Underlying thoughts. Let's review our key verses. First of all, if you turn back on your sheet, we'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Here it is, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people turn away. Now I want you to notice how often the word love is used in that description of the rebellious person. They love themselves. They love money. They love pleasure. But they do not love God, and right now they're not being loving toward their parents. And what they love gives us a clue as to what they're thinking. Back to your Bibles, Romans chapter 1 and verse 29 adds, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of all evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. All these behaviors, emotions, and thoughts are associated with disobedience to parents. They're similar lists, and similar things in both lists associated with disobedience to parents. They're likely to be present in those who have turned from God and do not love Him. What was Jade thinking when she sent rude photos of herself and she started talking on her phone to a prisoner? Well, the article didn't say, but she was probably thinking, a boy will make me happy. Only she had no morals on how to obtain that friendship, and she had no morals on who would make a good boyfriend. Sending rude photos and talking to a prisoner seems absolutely crazy to us, but it was perfectly logical to Jade. It flowed from her thoughts, a boyfriend will make me happy. This is always true. Behavior and emotions make sense when you know the thoughts. So behavior and emotions are clues to what the thoughts might be. Understanding thoughts goes a long way to understanding teens and understanding ourselves too. Some common thoughts that explain behavior and emotions may be, this will get me what I want. I'll have to go behind their backs. I have to have more freedom. This will impress my friends. I'll show them that I'm not a kid anymore. I can do what I want if I have enough money. I can get what I want if I have enough money. I've got to look like that. I've got to have a boyfriend. I've got to have a girlfriend. If I don't do it, he'll drop me. God gave me the wrong parents. I've got to score. I've got to be perfect. I don't accept what Dad wants. I've got to be like my friends. They're examples. Now, no one knows for sure what anybody is thinking. You don't know what I'm thinking. I don't know what you're thinking. Unless that person honestly reveals their thoughts to you. 1 Corinthians 2:11 explains, For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? No one knows exactly what you're thinking unless they reveal it. So the only way to know what your teen is thinking is by conversation, by drawing them out. Proverbs 20 and verse 5 says, counsel in the heart of the man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. When we know what our teen is thinking, we're very close to understanding them as people. If they will not talk to us, if they won't let us draw close to them, then their behavior and their emotions is going to give us a clue to what they're thinking. The fourth layer in understanding the rebel is innermost drives. Innermost drives. Indeed, drives are even deeper than thoughts. Pride can drive any of us, including our teens. Proverbs 3 and verse 7 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Being wise in your own eyes is pride. Isaiah 5 and verse 21, "Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." These people think they have it all together and as they choose their own way. Another thing that might drive is the approval of men, peer pressure. This can operate in us as parents just as easily as it can in the teens. And it may be the same need for approval from others that drives the parents as drives the teens. It might cause the parents to buy a car that will impress their friends and get the approval of others. Or it might be the same thing that drives the teens to cause them to get into drugs because they want that approval of their friends. Lust also will also certainly be involved in driving a rebellious teen. The book of Jude explains that those who are walking away from God, according to verse 16, are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts. If you're walking away from God, you're walking according to your own lusts. Those lusts are the underlying drives that drive you. James gives even more detail as to ruling lusts in our hearts and teens' hearts. James 4 and verse 1, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure?" These are your lusts that war in your members. "You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask." Why is there so much turmoil in the house? Because of the ruling lusts that drive the teens and possibly also ourselves also. So what kind of lusts might be driving us and teens? Well, there is the lust for immorality. There is a lust for power. And there is a lust for pleasure. There's a lust for money and things. Sadly, the human heart is motivated by pride, by desire for approval of men, and by these strong lusts and desires. Therefore, Proverbs 28 and verse 26 says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool." Do you see what's in our own hearts? Do you see what's in the hearts of our teens? It's not always as godly as we would like. Jane's thoughts may have been, "A boyfriend would make me happy." We could confirm that, of course, by chatting to her. If so, Jade's ruling lust was, "I must have a boyfriend. I must have a boyfriend at any cost. She must forget morality, forget everything I've been taught. I must have a boyfriend." Jade thinks life can't work without a boyfriend, and so she rebels against every standard and everything that she's been taught through the years. She will not listen. She will not comply. When Jade disagrees with Mum, when Jade disobeys Mum and calls Mum crazy, her rebellion is obvious and assertive. But there, I want, in trying to understand the heart of teens, I want to mention two other types of rebellion as we come to a close this morning. Two other types of rebel. Jade is an example of the assertive rebel. Common behaviours of assertive rebels like Jade include drugs and alcohol, smoking, stealing, lying, gambling, disruption to the family, violence, bullying, immorality in its various forms, anorexia, bulimia, immodesty, being obnoxious, blasphemy, ungodly movies, wanting to watch ungodly movies, wanting to listen to ungodly music, manipulation, arguing, loudmouthed, and lazy. That's the assertive rebel. And if you want to think of the parable of the prodigal son, Remember the son who wanted the father's inheritance, took it and went away and lived a prodigal life. He just partied. This is the assertive rebel. Broke his father's heart. He let him go. Eventually, praise God, that prodigal did come to his senses. But there are two other types of rebels. Not so obvious is the cooperative rebel. This teen is thinking, I'll obey if it gets me what I want. They may drag their feet, dawdle, deliberately fail, pout, be sullen, even though they have outwardly done what was asked. Their behavior communicates, I'll do what I have to do to get what I want, but I don't like it and I don't agree. Alternatively, the cooperative rebel can be appear to be really a really good kid, helpful. They don't cause problems. They're perfectionistic. They might be legalistic. Their thought is, I'll do my best because I've learned that life works the best that way. I'll do my best. It's all outward conformity. And when they're away from home, they just live like anybody else. This is like the second son in the parable of the prodigal son. He was there, he did everything right, but his heart was not with his father at all. So we have the assertive rebel, and we have the cooperative rebel. And a third expression of rebellion is the passive rebel. He's not doing bad stuff, but he's not doing good stuff either. The cooperative rebel does good stuff to get what he wants, but the passive rebel's not even doing good stuff. He won't try. He won't put a foot forward. He's selfish. He's self-protective. So in the latter teen years, he won't get a job. He won't learn to drive. He won't speak up. He won't move out. He always has an excuse. I'm not well. Or a passive rebel may forget to obey. This rebel is often lazy and messy. He forgets chores and responsibilities, and he forgets about appointments. Or he may claim, I didn't know I was supposed to do that. He acts without consideration for others. So the cooperative rebel and the passive rebels are not only rebellious, but they're kind of sly in their rebellion. They're not as upfront and assertive. And they're going to need as much help as their assertive rebel. The parent needs to draw close to understand. We can know their hearts as we observe their behavior and emotions. We can start to get a clue as to their thinking and to their drives. The consequences of rebellion can be tragic and serious. So we want to know how to be dealing with a rebel, and we're going to look at this in some of the messages as they come up month by month. But first, the first thing and the point of this message today is we need to draw close. We need to build that relationship. We need to understand. The very best strategy in regard to teen rebellion is to prevent it. The toddler must learn that he is a person under authority. The child must be helped to grow in Christ's likeness, to show them what is appropriate, what is godly behavior, and to start serving. A godly home where Jesus Christ is loved and his life lived will go a long way toward preventing rebellion. But if you do have a rebel, take time to draw close and understand. That's what I'm saying today. We need to understand before we're really able to help. Watch behavior and emotions, discern thinking and drives. Last word, draw close, understand. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go through these layers of behavior, emotions, thinking, and drives, we realize there is rebellion and desire for our own way and our own style in our own hearts. And Lord, we would confess that to you first of all. And Lord, we want to confess that to our families. But Lord, we do pray for any that have teens that are rebelling in either an assertive way or a cooperative way or a passive way. And we do pray, dear Heavenly Father, that parents would be able to know the hearts of their teens, understand their thinking and their drives, and be able to help them to be able to turn to the Saviour. Oh, I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that no parent leaves here today without the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is working and can work and will work in anyone's life as we pray for them. And I pray that Your hand would be upon them. Lord, we remember the parable of the prodigal son and how the son came to his senses and returned to his father. We pray that that might be our portion, might be the portion of our friends, might be the portion of those in the extended fellowship of this church. We pray for Christ's glory. Amen.